Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
David Wells has pitched a perfect game. 27 up, 27 down. Baseball immortality for David Wells. And the Yankees win. The Yankees win.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
To save his life,
call his wife and hey, what's everybody doing on this Friday morning? 4:05 right here on The Fan. I got you for one more hour till the warm up show. 888-808-1019. And unfortunately, the Rangers are staring at a 3-2 deficit. They are staring at a game six Saturday night that is a must win. If they want to continue this magical season, if they want to continue this great year, they are going to have to find a way to become the 94 Rangers we've talked about so much over the last few weeks with this garden party of Knicks and Rangers and trying to get back to what it was like 30 years ago. But unfortunately, it's a little too close for comfort with being down 3-2 and losing a game five the way they did last night. And it was a frustrating game. It's a game that I thought was probably, you could argue, their best game of the series, certainly since game two. I mean, that's the only other one you could debate. Despite winning game three, I thought they played better than this in game three. They did not play this well in game one. So, I mean, this is arguably the best game they've had all series long. They played extremely well. I thought the forecheck was better. They hit more. They were more physical. The first period was, you know, evenly played. And then the beginning of the second period, the Rangers kind of took it to them. And like I said, that first goal made me about as confident as I could be in the Rangers winning this game, because it spoke to a couple of things we talked about heading into the game. Obviously, the power play and the penalty kill had been so good in the previous series, and it's really the penalty kill in particular had faltered here over the last few games against Florida. So that was a major talking point. And then obviously, Zibanejad and Kreider having nothing on the score sheet, not a point in this series, and you know that shorthanded goal to give them a 1-0 lead in the second. It's obviously Zibanejad and Kreider. They both get their first points of the series. Kreider with a goal, shorthanded on the penalty kill, which was clearly better throughout the whole game and leads to their really only goal. I know Lafreniere scores late, but I mean that goal in that moment to take a 1-0 lead in the second period, I felt very confident about where this team was going and where this game was going. And then for me, the biggest turning point of the game is absolutely on the Ranger power play. Mikula runs into Shesterkin and gets called for interference, and they are about to go on a 5-on-3 for about a minute and a half. And instead, Gustafsson feels like he has to defend his goalie like it's a Tuesday night in January. And instead of making sure you have that kind of opportunity, a 5-on-3, you go get called for interference and eliminate it. And, I mean, to have an opportunity to have a 5-on-3 for a minute and a half and possibly take a 2-goal lead, get the crowd going, get the crowd into the 5-on-3, just like they needed that in that moment. And I know the coach said he's fine with it, and I understand it's hockey, and we've all seen it a million times. The goalie gets run into, there's a scrum behind the net. I understand that. But in that moment, you have to be able to control yourself and make sure you don't get called for a penalty? Was it an egregious thing? Did he have to get called? Could the referee swallow his whistle? Sure. But there was enough there to get the penalty, and you can't leave it to the ref, and you need that 5-on-3. And what happens? The rest of the power play gets killed, 5-on-4, and 3 minutes later, the puck's in the back of the net behind Igor, and it's tied 1-1, and suddenly all the momentum is no longer with the Rangers. That was a major turning point for me. Major. And a frustrating moment. And then the most frustrating of all is how they played in the third period of not only this game, but of an entire series. And for a game where they were playing as good as they have played all series long, and they showed you the numbers a million times on the broadcast. This Ranger team has been good in the third period all year long. It's one of their fortes. It's one of their specialties. The power play, the penalty kill, the third period. That's how they have lived and coming from behind. That's what this Ranger team does. That's who they've been all year long, including the playoffs. They're a plus team in the playoffs with a plus goal differential, even while getting their ass kicked in every single one of these games in the third period. They've still managed to be a positive team in the third period. That's who they've been this entire year. And they're at home. Game 5, series tied 2-2. They're at home, tied 1-1, heading into the third period, and they get their ass kicked in the third period. And they fall behind, and they're forced to, you know, pull the goalie with just under 3 minutes left. And then, you know, Mika's worried about trying to draw a penalty with an elbow to the face instead of making sure the puck either stays in the neutral zone or certainly isn't skated out for an easy empty netter. Like, that third period and the way they've played in all of these third periods, the idea that they can't figure out a way at home in this game to do what they do all year long. And I guess that's what's also frustrating about it, because you could tell yourself that, hey, you know, they're somewhat lucky to be here at 2-2. While I hate the luck and the stolen victories, I don't buy that. But on some level, yeah, they've been outplayed. They've been outplayed in most, if not all, of this series, and yet it's 2-2. And you take that as a positive because you say to yourself, hey, when they play better, they should be able to win. And they played better. And they were there with the Panthers. This was a much better game for them. And so when you think of it, they played better. They were right there with them. The game is tied at 1 in the third period, and this is where the Rangers make their money. This is who the Rangers have been all year long, and still they lose. And sure, when they get their ass kicked all game long in the second period and the third period, the ice is tilted the way it was in game 4, and they lose that game despite it being close. You say, okay, Panthers played a better game. Okay, what are you going to do? But when you get another excellent performance from your goalie, when your penalty kill does get you a goal, the sixth of the postseason, when you are playing a better overall game, when you did get Kreider and Zibanejad their first points of the series, when you are tied in the third period, where you made your money all year long, and you still lose, pisses me off. It pisses me off. But you know what? That doesn't change the fact that they still have an opportunity to go into Florida and win a game 6. They still have an opportunity to take this series. And they still have an opportunity to be that team from 1994 that we all love and remember.
Brian Leetch, stick candles, pass Carpenter, headman's on the right wing to Kovalev. Moving it over the devil line, cuts to the slot, feeds Messier, backhands, he scores! Messier has tied it at 2 with 17-12 to go in the third period. Kovalev's got it. Cross ice, Leetch, moving to the New Jersey line. Drops it for Kovalev, left circle, slap shot, save, rebound, score! Messier has cashed in the rebound with 7:48 to go in the third period, and the Rangers take a 3-2 lead.
Off the draw, Lidstrom winds it around, not out. Messier gets it back, shoots it all the way down, he scores! Messier hits the open net with 1:45 to go in the third period. That's the hat trick for Captain Mark Messier. There's still 1:45 to go, but now it's a 4-2 Ranger lead.
Yeah, we just needed some Game 6 vibes. Let's go. As disappointed as I am, and as much as the Florida Panthers have kicked the crap out of the Rangers, let's be fair. We needed some good vibes. Let's go. We've compared this team to the 94 team over and over again with the garden party we've had. Let's have that performance. No one's guaranteed anything, nor should they. But let's go have a little fun. Go out there Saturday night. I'm not going to have the opportunity to talk to you again until that game on Saturday. Go figure it out. Someone needs to step up. Kreider did it in Game 6 of the Hurricane Series. Someone's got to step up in Game 6 of this series. Because the Rangers can't go home. Not yet. I'm not ready yet. Ah, there we go. Got erased. Emmanuel wants to talk about the Rangers. What's up, Emmanuel?
Hey, what's up? You play these recordings of the 94 Rangers. I'm too young to remember this. I'm 18. But my grandparents have. Like,
oh, yeah, your grandparents. I bet your grandparents remember it very well.
Oh, my gosh. My uncles, my father. But my grandparents have those old tapes. Like, now they have the CDs, but they have those tapes. I don't even know what they're called. I'm too young. Every time I go, I watch it.
Wait, you're too young to know what a VHS tape is? Is that what you're trying to say, VHS tape?
Whatever it's called, yeah.
Do you know what a VCR is, my friend? I'm just curious.
I don't know. I know what a smartphone is, and that's basically
That's about it. All right. Well, listen, Emmanuel, it happened in 94. Believe me, it was 30 years ago, which was the same time, you know, Marty went back 30 years and Back to the Future. So if we would have do Back to the Future now, it'd send them back to 1994. How crazy is that? But it was 30 years ago, and I promise you it happened. And a young Chris McMonagle was sitting in Chris Vertin's house on the other side of Pathmark, and we watched the Rangers. Oh, yes, we did. We watched them win the Stanley Cup. We watched them fall behind the Devils 3-2 and work their way back and have Messier, the captain, guarantee a victory and get a hat trick. We've seen it. It's not impossible, Emmanuel, believe me. I know it's as far back as the French Revolution for you, but it happened. It happened. And it can happen again. History repeats itself all the time. Brian in Astoria, what's up, Brian?
Hey, Chris, how are you, man?
Good, how are you, buddy?
Yeah, struggling again, but... one comment, one question for you. Honestly, Kreider knew he'd come through, but Breadman, it's Rick Nash 2.0. Everyone else is injured. Yeah. Everyone else is injured. Zibanejad, Krawczyk.
Yeah.
Everyone else is injured. Breadman is not injured whatsoever. I cannot deal with another Rick Nash 2.0. I just got to ask you, I can't watch 56 play anymore. The one question I have for you, I'll hang up and listen, Chris.
Yeah.
Why is Gustafson still in the lineup? Zach Jones was the best defenseman for the last 2 months of this season. I cannot watch 56 play any more hockey. I know Laviolette loves his veterans, but man, oh man, it's game 6 on the road. I got to tell you, Gustafson's got to be out, and Zach Jones got to come in. Thanks, Chris.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that's the difference in this game or in the difference in this series. I know Gustafson takes the terrible penalty that I'm pissed about, but to get to your Panarin point, look, and also the injuries, I understand. And of all the names you mentioned, you left out Fox, who clearly, Adam Fox is clearly dealing with something. He is so slow out there. But he's playing as many minutes. He's playing 23 minutes in the game. If he's playing, he's playing. I know what he's dealing with. Obviously, he's dealing with something. But I'm sorry. If he can play 23 minutes, it's got to be better 23 than that. He's slow. They're getting to every loose puck. Every loose puck, they want it more. They're faster. They're quicker. They get to it. Every single one. And Fox in particular is slow. Low. And Panarin, you're right. I've been saying it all morning long. I don't care what they're doing. Paul Maurice didn't even say that they are doing anything different necessarily on trying to take out their star players, but whatever the case may be, whatever they're doing, there is no excuse for a player like Panarin, who had the season he had, who's the leader of this team, who's supposed to be the guy making the plays. He's supposed to be the guy, their MVP. He's the best player on the Hart Trophy winner. He's the best player on the best team in hockey, on the President's Trophy winning team. I don't care what the other team is doing. You cannot have zero impact on the series. Just can't. They're not going to win if their best players have minimal impact. And Panarin, for the most part, has had zero impact on the series. And I understand. I get it. I was listening to Boomer, and I understand. I'm listening to the guys talk. He's being smothered. It's part of the reason why Lafreniere has been able to get so many goals and blah, 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 blah. I don't care. I don't care. He's got to figure out a way to get more involved. They have to figure out a way to do more scoring 5-on-5. They have to get more guys in front of the net. I don't care. And, I talked about this a little bit too. Like you mentioned, who should play, who shouldn't play. I have a real tough time figuring out why Rempe is in the lineup. And I know that's just, it's become a fan talking point or whatever. And, maybe you're right. There's other decisions to be made, but they're getting their ass kicked in the third period, right? They're getting their ass kicked in the third period. It's a devastating, long, hard-fought series. Everything. The Panthers make you work for everything. These guys are exhausted, taking 40-second shifts out there. And in the third period, they are a man down because they don't play Rempe. He played 4 minutes in this game. He had four shifts. He doesn't play in the third period at all. You can't continue to get your ass kicked in the third period when you're slower to the puck, you're dealing with, like you said, guys who are injured, and you're one man short because the coach is dressing someone he does not have confidence in to play in the third period. I don't understand it. If you are going to dress him, you have to play him. And if you don't want to play him, don't dress him. Because someone called me early and said, well, the Panthers had a guy who played 4 minutes too. Well, the Panthers aren't getting their ass kicked in the third period. The Rangers are. The Panthers don't need to make an adjustment. The Rangers do. Danny and Belrose. What's up, Danny? How are we doing?
Good morning, Chris.
Good. How are you? Good morning. I'm doing great. How are you? Everything all right still?
Yeah, can't complain. Yeah, so I'm just going to just talk about the Rangers for like a second and then highlight the Yankees, obviously. So obviously it's do or die, go big or go home. They got to win the next two. But, they'll be okay. I'm confident. But the big win last night for the Yankees, what a great game. Rodon, obviously, did amazing. Six innings, only one run. Five strikeouts. Judge, obviously tied Jorge Posada, eighth place on the with 275 home
runs. He also tied Babe Ruth for the most extra base hits in a month in Yankee history. I mean, he's been unbelievable.
Actually, Lou Gehrig, actually. It was 12 doubles, and 12 home runs, actually, in a calendar month.
Yeah, no, I saw the graphic. Babe Ruth was up there, too. You might be right with Lou Gehrig. I think it was 24 from Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig, and then 23 Joe DiMaggio, and Judge tied both.
Judge is a beast. I mean, he really is a beast. And also you can't forget about the bases clearing triple by Soto. That was that really blew the game open.
How could I forget it? How could I forget it?
Otherwise, how you doing?
I'm good, Danny. How are you? How's married life? Good. Everything else all right?
Great.
Everything good?
Great. Yeah, it's great, man.
Good.
So I'll let you talk now,
No, no problem. Listen. Anytime you want to call and just give me a recap of everything that happened in the Yankee game, no problem. No problem. Typically, opinions are nice, or questions even would be warranted in such a situation. But hey, Danny, I love you. Give me a call. Feel free to just go through the list of things that happened. I'm open to it. But yes, the Yankees are on fire. Yes, a couple streaks ended yesterday. One, Volpe's hit streak ends at 21. Unfortunately, he goes 0-for-4 with a walk, RBI, and a run scored, and still hit the ball. His last at-bat hit a bullet up the middle. They were playing him that way. It didn't work out. But, I mean, he's been incredible. And then the other streak is the Yankee starting pitching, the longest streak since 1893.
Who's out a hell of a lot longer than I
since they haven't. It's the first time since May 13th that a starting pitcher for the Yankees did not go six or more innings and give up two or less runs. He gave up. He went six innings and gave up three runs. And that's the worst pitching performance they've had all month. I mean, it's remarkable. Now they've lost Clark Schmidt, who's out a hell of a lot longer than I expected. I don't know. Maybe you get the strained lat and then you're like, all right, what's that, a month? No. That's him not pitching for a month. So, you are not going to see Clark Schmidt until mid-August, possibly. Because when you're shut down that long, I mean, he's got to be shut down and not throw. And then he's got to be built up the same way Cole's being built up. It's going to take about a month and a half and then a month or more. So Clark Schmidt is gone for a while. We're not even thinking about Clark Schmidt, and I feel bad for him. He's having a great year. But obviously we all were debating and trying to figure out what the Yankees are going to do. What a great rotation. Who do you take out of the rotation? Do you have a six-man rotation? What do you do when Cole comes back? Well, the answer is pretty easy now. No Clark Schmidt for a while. When Cole comes back, he'll take over from Petit, who will fill in for Clark Schmidt in the meantime. But, I mean, this rotation's been out of this world. The lineup, while not scoring a ton of runs in the first two games in Anaheim, have done an incredible job. Soto and Judge are tearing it up. The back of the middle of the lineup's been great, too. Verdugo has made a huge difference in this team. They just got LeMahieu back, who's starting hitting in the bottom of the lineup, but I wouldn't be surprised if he moves up as you go along. Gleyber Torres has a couple hits in this game. So, like, right now, despite the streaks ending, the winning streak and the series winning streak is they have won all eight series in May. They've had an incredible May. And they look forward to continuing it tonight in San Francisco. But it's very difficult to find things. You have to really, Rizzo makes an error that cost him a game. Rizzo's a problem. I mean, that's you just go game by game and see what's the problem. Because right now it's very difficult to find one. And on the Mets, on the other hand, it's easy to find problems. Everywhere you turn, there's a problem. But I have to admit, I thought Lindor and the Mets had a very good day yesterday, following a miserable day. Following all the stuff with Jorge Lopez, who clarified himself. And I think if you listen to it, you pretty much got the gist. If you listen to it a couple times, you got the gist that, A, he was talking about himself, and B, when he was asked to clarify himself, he didn't understand. There was a bit of a language barrier there that caused for a lot of confusion, but I think he was talking about himself. But either way, he disrespected the manager, or at least made it seem like he didn't give a damn what the manager had to say, so he left. He's officially designated for assignment. But following a team meeting, you want to, it's important to make it stick, right? You typically have them before you face a bad team or when your ace is on the mound. And for the Mets, it was Christian Scott on the mound facing Zach Gallen of the defending National League champion Arizona Diamondbacks. And it didn't feel like going in. You got Pete Alonso, who, yes, the scans were clear, but day-to-day wasn't in the lineup, and it felt like this could be a tough game to win. And instead, obviously, they get Zach Gallen hurt in the first inning, and he's out for the game, and you get a bullpen game for Arizona. But besides that, didn't score a lot. And Lindor, who called the meeting, Lindor, who decided to put the leadership on his shoulders and call out players and have the meeting and made sure they had a discussion, he steps up. He goes 4-for-4. He hits a home run. He drives in the game-tying run in the seventh after Pete Alonso pinch hits and gets the leadoff double. J.D. Martinez hits a home run in the eighth to give them the lead. And then Reed Garrett, who's going to be extremely important right now with the injuries to the bullpen, the ineffectiveness of Ottavino. I mean, he can't afford to take a step back. He can't afford to revert to the mean. He's got to be what he was at the start of this year. And he comes through, walks the leadoff guy, and then gets the next three rather easy. The Mets get a victory. And Lindor, who calls the meeting, does what leaders need to do. He not only did it with his words, but he goes out there and he does it with his play. And to go 4-for-4 and have the best game of his real season, for the most part. I mean, I know he had a couple of big hits. He had the walk-off hit the day he was sick and got pinched hit. But for the most part, 4-for-4, a home run, game-tying base hit. Following that meeting, following the day he decided to step up as the leader of the team, it's a good sign. It's a good sign for him. Hopefully he snaps out of it. It's a good win for the Mets. Doesn't change everything, but what it does do, it affords them to kind of galvanize around that moment. Because if they went out there and got their ass kicked, or, you know, Gallen was healthy and shut them down, or Reed Garrett blew the game in the ninth, well, suddenly that meeting means absolutely nothing, and you're not going to hear the J.D. Martinez of the world, who hits a game-winning home run, tell you how important the meeting was. And oh, it was the best meeting I've ever had. And I've had a doozy. I've had tons of them. And this was the best one yet. And I've never come out of a meeting more positive. You get to say that because you won a game. And maybe, just maybe, they can fool themselves into thinking it actually mattered. And if they fool themselves, well, perception is reality, isn't it? So for the Mets, it was a good win. And for Lindor, it was a good moment for him as we question the leadership of this team, as we talk about who's there to stand up, who's there to tell the guy who isn't working hard enough he needs to work harder, who's the guy who's going to step up and take on that role. Well, Lindor did it with his words yesterday, or 2 days ago, excuse me, and he did it with his play yesterday. While I don't know if this changes everything, I don't expect him to, you know, go on this unbelievable run, I do think for Lindor it was important, and hopefully this is something that can jar him back to reality and begin his season. And for the Mets, it can be at least a moment where they say, okay, we've changed things here, and let's move forward in a positive way. So we'll see. I still don't have much faith in them because I think overall the core is broken, and I don't think they're very good, but at least it was a positive day. They followed a miserable day with a positive day. It's as much as you could ask for right now, as they are still 10 games under 500, 15 games back in the division, and staring irrelevancy in the face. But they fought it back for one day. Congrats to them.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Speak your mind. 888-808-1019. Powered by AT&T Business.
Right, 435, McMonagle here with you on the Fan. 888-808-1019. 808-1019. So I just saw a story that cracks me up. I don't know why. There are people in this world. I remember the Dark Knight, where Michael Caine, who plays Alfred, tries to explain to Batman that there are people in this world who just want to see the world burn. That there's no rhyme or reason. There's nothing you can motivate them with. Or there are just people who want to watch the world burn. There are people who do things for no explained reason. And unfortunately right now, the pickleball players of Riverside Park understand those things. Because for some reason, someone keeps destroying the pickleball courts in Riverside Park. Three separate times, nets destroyed, equipment scattered. Someone just keeps showing up at the pickleball courts and ripping everything to shreds. I don't know. I mean, pickleball is the fastest growing sport in this country. We are seeing former athlete after former athlete get into pickleball. me and my community, my HOA, we had to install pickleball lines and a pickleball net on the tennis court. Pickleball, so for whoever's doing this, just know, pickleball is here to stay. And you will not change it with your senseless vandalism. No matter how many times, every time you take it down, we will put it back up, my friend. So just know that. Just know, you will not take pickleball away from the great residents of Riverside Park. Tell you that right now. who goes to destroy a, who eats 30 bag of lunches? It's that damn Sasquatch, that's who. Who would destroy a pickleball court? Unfortunately, I've never played pickleball. I would love to. I know for a fact, and this isn't a challenge, I don't care. But I know for a fact I would beat Marash and Evan, that's for sure. Watching those two do it. But, like, because I played handball for many years. Handball's awesome. I've never played tennis really either. But I would love to play pickleball. Never had an opportunity to. I got my days free, kind of, now. Maybe I should join a pickleball league. We could sit around and talk about VCRs and VHS tapes that nobody remembers.
What you really have to do, because it's such a fast-growing sport, yes, is get your sons into pickleball.
That's
at least
true.
One of them.
Yeah. Can you imagine? Yep. Tommy got a scholarship to Towson University. Going to be playing pickleball there in the fall. Oh, yeah, they're giving a lot of pick. Oh, yeah. Oh, I thought it was lacrosse. Not anymore. You want to get your kid to college? Tell him to play pickleball. That or video games, one or the other. I'm watching the stupid replay now. Why would you hit him? You're about to be 5-on-3. Leave him alone, Gustafson. Just leave him alone. Igor could take care of himself. Igor's throwing punches and stuff. Igor could take care of himself. Igor looks just fine. And every time goalies take off their helmets, it reminds me of Beetlejuice. It feels like they have such small heads under there. He runs into him, and there he's not even there. You come running around the net. You throw him on the ground. He's just so stupid. Just so stupid. Man, could have had a 5-on-3. Could have been somebody. Could have been somebody. Stop taking needless penalties. Stop destroying pickleball courts. Stop the madness. We don't have to get into anything else that happened yesterday. That's it. Not getting any more. Not giving any more news articles about what happened yesterday. We'll leave all that alone. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. But yeah, I mean, it's a frustrating loss. They played well and still lost. They got better on the penalty kill. They still lost. Kreider and Zibanejad got involved. They still lost. They were at home, tied, third period, where they have dominated for so much of the season and still got beat up and dominated. And I honestly think now, as much as I love him and as much as I still think he's a great young player, like, Fox has to play less, no? No? I mean, I think he has to play. He's incredibly slow out there. Incredibly slow. And I mean, he has no creation. He has no ability to create separate on the power play. As soon as he gets the puck, he has to get rid of it. They're all over him. They're all over him. I mean, it just seems like they're like, let's be fair. What scares me the most, right? Because I do believe in this team. I do believe in this Ranger team. And I do think they have an excellent chance to win this game. And I do still believe in their ability to win this series overall. But what scares me the most is just, one, the third periods, but two, just watching the games and seeing that it seems like every time a Ranger touches a puck, there are two guys on him. Just feels that way. It feels like they have more guys on the ice than the Rangers do. They get to every loose puck. Their sticks are in every single passing lane. They have this zero room for creativity. There's zero room. I mean, that's why Panarin's struggling. I get it. He's got to find a way to shift his game and figure out a way to just, you know, plow straight ahead and get involved, because he does not have the space to be creative and to be, you know, his normal self. Like, he's going to have to adapt here at some point, because they're not giving him enough room to create space and be creative and do different things. Like, he's got to just figure it out, a way to get beyond the defense, get behind him, get to the net. They got to put more guys in front of the net. They got to create different kinds of scoring chances. They've got to get better 5-on-5. And they've got to just figure out a way to do more. To do more. Plain and simple. They've got to do more 5-on-5. They've got to get more legitimate scoring chances. Because, yeah, I know the shots are what they are. The shots are what they are. And I've kind of just resigned myself to the idea that the Rangers are going to be beat in the shot department. It's going to be at least 10 to 12 more shots from the Panthers. But legitimate scoring chances were tied for a lot of this game. But ultimately, when it counted, they just couldn't muster enough. They couldn't muster enough. 888, and I mean, it's just, I'm watching certain guys play. They're just getting beat. It's going to be a very tough game to win going back to Florida. It's going to be a very tough game on Saturday. But I do still believe in this team. They've shown you too much all year to just abandon faith. And I feel like a lot of Ranger fans are abandoning faith. These games are still one goal games. I mean, I say get their ass kicked. I say they've been beat up the series. I say they've been dominated. They've won two of the five games. And, you know, every game is right there to be won. Every game's a goal game. Every game is tied at one point in the third period. Like, that, these games are right there. And for two games, games two and three, they figured out a way to be the team. They're going to have to do it two more times.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Now the pass across, they score! The Rangers take a 4-3 lead with 4:19 remaining. Long shift and the finish by Chris Kreider. A third period hat trick.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
That's what we need, Kreider. That's what we need. Another hat trick. We need someone to show up in game six. Speaking of hat tricks, speaking of game six, speaking of showing up, we need a little of this.
Brian Leetch, stick candles, pass Carpenter, headman's on the right wing to Kovalev. Moving it over the devil line, cuts to the slot, feeds Messier, backhands, he scores! Messier has tied it at two with 17:12 to go in the third period. Kovalev's got it. Cross ice, Leetch, moving to the New Jersey line, drops it for Kovalev, left circle, slap shot, save, rebound, score! Messier has cashed in the rebound with 7:48 to go in the third period, and the Rangers take a 3-2 lead. Off the draw, Lidster winds it around, not out. Messier gets it back, shoots it all the way down, he scores! Messier hits the open net with 1:45 to go in the third period. That's the hat trick for Captain Mark Messier. There's still 1:45 to go, but now it's a 4-2 Ranger lead.
That's what we need. That team was up against it. This team is up against it. That was the first time that team had their back against the wall. That was the first time that 94 team was in a win-or-go-home situation. This is the first time this team is up against a win-or-go-home situation. Got to find out who they are. We're going to find out who they are. We're going to find out who Panarin is. We're going to find out who Zibanejad is. We're going to find out what this team is made of. I feel like I know what Igor Shesterkin is. I feel like he's been the one player, although, you know, game one wasn't his best game. He lets in a soft goal and then throws one up against, you know, misplays the puck, leads to the second goal. And I think you could argue, and I'm not going to get on him at all. I'm just trying to be fair and break it down. You know, the second goal in this game goes through his arm. It's not a bad goal. It's one that he's typically saved throughout this series. But you can't get on him. He's been incredible. He's been their best player. He's the reason they're still playing. But this Ranger team now, this is the season. This great year that started out immediately. I mean, like, the first 18 games, you knew this could be a good year. Throughout the year, you saw Panarin become much more aggressive, and you thought that would help him come playoff time. That he wouldn't just be looking for the extra pass, that he would be more aggressive and try and get his. And yet, here he is again, disappearing when they need him the most. I mean, these guys, you're going to find out, and let's be honest, again, this is, they're up against it. They need a moment like that. They need someone to step up and be Mark Messier. No one on this team, you know, is Mark Messier. No one on this team had the resume Mark Messier had already had by the time he came to the New York Rangers. But, you know, someone's going to have to step up. And if not, if everything that's been said about this team, if all the negative things that have been said about this team, all the question marks, all the toughness questions, all the playoff questions, if all those turn out to be true, and yet again, you are searching for answers on what happened. Because I understand the Panthers are good. Don't get me wrong. The Panthers are very good. The Rangers are very good. And it's not just like a couple of bad breaks. They've been thoroughly outplayed for a lot of this series. And if it goes this way, and if the core members of the team, I know we've talked a lot about cores of teams with the Mets, but if the core of this team is going to be the kind of core that fades, if the, you know, if the best players on this team are going to be completely, and you want to talk about the team being outplayed, you want to talk about the dominance that the Panthers have shown. I mean, no more is there a gap in what's going on in this series than the best players of Florida and the best players of the Rangers. I mean, that's where you want to talk about the gap. There's the mind the gap. That's where it is, right there. And if this Ranger team, put together by, you know, mostly Chris Drury, who is quick to make changes, recognized there was a coaching issue, changed it. Realized there was a toughness issue after the issue with Washington, changed it. And he's put together what he thought was a team that was good enough to get through the gauntlet that is the Stanley Cup playoffs, and a team that was the best team in hockey during the course of the regular season. And always, always fought back, always responded to adversity, led the league in comeback goals, comeback wins. I think the most all-time, if you include the playoffs, in the history of the NHL. That's who they've been. It's who they are. And until they show me they can't be that team, I'm going to still expect it. And I don't know who it's going to be. I don't know who's going to step up. Whether it's going to be Igor stepping up further and just pitching a shutout, or if it's going to be Panarin, or if it's going to be Zibanejad, or if it's going to be Kreider, or if it's going to be Lafreniere, who's been their most explosive player by a mile in this series. Or whoever it's going to be, but somebody has to step up. This team has to find a way. They need to stay out of the penalty box. They need to draw penalties. They need to win faceoffs. They need to, you know, spend more time in the offensive zone. They have to create more offense and more legitimate scoring chances, 5-on-5 for sure. Put more guys in front of the net. Do something. Change something. This is, you know, it's for the coach too. It's for the coach too, who had, yes, he's won a Stanley Cup with the Carolina Hurricanes 100 years ago. And yes, he's been with a million teams, and he's taken them all this far. But he has got to come up with a game plan. He has got to come up with something. They have to figure something out. And it's not just rotating, you know, the players. They've got to come up with and they've got, first of all, they've got to show up with more intensity, but they've got to come up with a plan to get more scoring, more guys in front of the net, something. Something to change the dynamic of what's going on here, because despite the idea that, yeah, the first period was pretty damn even, and I think you could even say for the first half of the second period, the Rangers had the better of the play, but, I mean, that third period, they got overrun again. Like, they have every third period. And as the home team and a team that's thrived as a third period team this entire year, game five must win for them practically in their building with a tie game heading into the third. It was never close. It was just whether or not Igor was going to just say, you can't score today. That was the only question. And unfortunately, he's not superhuman. But again, it's not over. It's not over. As we sit here on this Friday morning and we wait for Saturday night, this team has shown the ability to come back time and time again. And it feels a little bit, and you know, it feels a little bit like the Knicks. It does. It feels a little bit like the Knicks, although they're not completely just besieged by injury. It just feels like it's at the long end of a journey where you could make the case the other team is just fresher. The other team is better suited for it. The other team is more capable to get past it. That's what it feels like. And even though these games are tight, and even though I'm watching the replay now, it's tied 1-1. Even though these games are nip and tuck, it just feels like the Panthers are the team that is going to find a way. And somehow the Rangers got to change that dynamic. And it starts with the Stars. So we'll find out who this team is. And we'll find out whether or not they're worthy of continuing to be the plan moving forward. And whether or not there's a retool or a rebuild in some way. Because how many years can you run it back? How many years can you have people be right? How many years can you be told too soft, not tough enough, don't win enough battles in the corners, too reliant on their power play, too reliant on their goalie, Stars don't show up in the postseason, Panarin's disappeared again in the playoffs. How many years can that be the story of the New York Rangers when we finally say goodbye to them, when the season ends? How many times can that be the story before you have to change it? And that's why it won't change. And we'll see. Hopefully, the next time I speak to you, we will be getting ready for a Game 7 at Madison Square Garden. Everybody, have a great weekend. Have a nice little Friday. I intend to. Gonna have a birthday party for the boys on Sunday. Dual birthday party. Looking forward to that. But everybody, have a great weekend. Fliegelman, thank you. Thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. Let's go, Rangers. Figure out a way to get it done. Game 6 on Saturday night. Enjoy. I think the weather's supposed to be nice. Have a great weekend. The warm-up show is next with Al and Jerry. Everybody take care. Again, I'll see you at 2 a.m. Monday morning. Enjoy the weekend. Let's go, Rangers. I'm out of here.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM.